Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
If Kristaps Porzingis can't play in the playoffs, would that end his time with the Mavs for you, or would that make him untradeable? So here is what we know. Is he had a quote last night with Brad Townsend about how he doesn't sound like he really wants to play a certain position. He'd rather be at the five and not have to play a power forward, but we'll see how that goes. Supposedly he's going to play tomorrow. But seeing as how he was out with an ankle, came back, hurt his knee, had to go back out again, there's speculation about whether he needs more surgery done on his knee, whatever the case is. If he can't go in the playoffs, what do you do next?
Why does it matter with the center power forward part?
He seemed to insinuate, and in the past, I know he said he feels like he's more productive at center. I can't exactly remember the reasons why, but he believes he's more productive at center than power forward.
I think there's part of him that likes going against the most unathletic player on the court.
Because he can abuse them more?
Yes.
Okay. All right, and I understand that, if that's the reason.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me. And Kevin, if you're talking about trading him, if he's like really making himself less marketable, then I have a real problem with, like, am I getting max value out of him? And that's why I don't understand, like, the game has changed so much that should, like, he stretches the floor at center or four. And I guess he's getting his shot off from the corner near the logo of a four easier or a five easier.
Well,
I
don't know how much it is on offense. I think some of it is on offense, Corey. I think also, when he has to go against a 6'9" guy who can handle the basketball, he knows that he has no chance, and so he would like he asked not to play against the Celtics. Like, you want to talk about a dog, you know, in a good way, like, I want a dog, I want a guy. He asked out of the Boston Celtics game because he's like, man, they're playing all kind of like guards and forwards. I can't guard these people. I don't want to get exposed.
Okay, that makes more sense.
I can't expose them as much as they can expose me, so I don't want to play.
So let's say he re-aggravates his knee and you find out he needs to get it scoped or whatever the case may be, and he doesn't play in the playoffs. Or he does make it to the playoffs after coming back on Wednesday and he can only play 2, 3, 4, not the complete series like we saw last year. Which direction do you go? Because as Corey said, you feel like you're not going to be getting full value because you're not. Or would that straight up make him untradeable? And by the way, the Mavericks have won 5 of their last 6 without KP and are 16-12 without him this season.
I don't think it makes him untradeable, but the value goes down even more. And what would make him possibly untradeable is that Cuban might think this is a top 20 player in the game and you're not even going to get a top 50 evaluation from other teams. Well, if I value him as a top 20 player in the game, the way I think Mark Cuban does, and then I'm getting offers for like a guy that would be considered like the 50th best player in the game at best, I'm going to be like, I can't trade him for that. I can't trade him for, in a sign and trade, I can't trade him for Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah.
You know, but that might be your offer. That might be, hey, you want to take our injured guy who's a restricted free agent and we'll throw in another piece that's
tall,
okay,
and can't play in the post either.
Yeah, and we'll throw in Otto Porter. We'll throw Otto Porter and Lauri Markkanen.
Traded him.
Yeah, and I might be, but you know what I'm saying,
Orlando.
Like,
yeah,
yeah, and that might just be like a no go. Like, are you kidding me? We're not trading for that. Like, he's a top, and the other team's like, no, he's not. He never plays, and when he does, now we have to play him at the five, and we have to feed him the ball, and he has to play the first 9 to 10 minutes of the game, because if we take him out after 5 or 6, he got mad at Rick Carlisle for that and said he has to get into a rhythm if we're going to do this. So Rick Carlisle adjusted his minutes. Now he takes out Luka after 5 or 6 minutes into the game. Why did he do that? Maybe beneficial to Luka, but more importantly, Porzingis complained in the media about it, then it immediately changed. So to me, he did it for Porzingis.
What do you think the NBA believes, and what do you guys believe about his perceived value, or not perceived value, his actual value? Like, do you slot him in that 40 to 50 range in terms of player rank? Do you think top 25 is still fair? Because you focus on when he does play, he does X, Y, and Z. Where are y'all at this? I probably tip my hand
there. I swear that he was rated 41.
Yeah,
I think he was rated 41 coming into the NBA this year, before the year started, I think.
What could he be slotted as?
I think...
Like what would you think his max spot would be?
I would not be surprised if people had him in the top 25. I would not put him in the top 25, but I would not be surprised if people put him in the top 25.
You don't think he could ever be a top 10 player?
Oh, not even close.
Because of health? No. There was absolutely... Because if you just said skill level and what he can do, there was definitely a time I thought that was possible. But because of health, I do not believe that is feasible. Because
I'm just trying to figure out, Mike, like, which owner or GM in the league is going to look at a player like this and say, I can sell this guy to my fan base. And that's important, for one, because they have to sell this, because he wants to be the guy that everybody is like, I'm the dude, y'all cater to me in this situation, but I am the number one on your team. So, like, being a number one in Sacramento would be his ideal thing, right? I can be the number one there.
And he wouldn't be.
I was going to say, I would slot him. Yeah, I would slot him.
Okay, so, but
that's his problem.
And so that's what I'm trying to figure out, is a team going to trade you thinking, we can sell this to our fan base and this is a positive? Well, that's what the Mavericks already did.
And do you have to limit him then? Do you think you have to limit his trade destinations to a place where he could slide in as the number one?
I think so. Like, that's, obviously the Mavericks don't have to do that, but, like, they don't have to cater to that for him, but that's what he wants, I guess. We still don't know. We don't know enough about him. That's why I was asking Jalen Brunson weird questions. I'm just trying to learn more about his teammate from their perspective, from Mark's perspective. Like, what is this guy? What motivates him? Because if he can't play in the playoffs, then winning does not motivate this dude. And if he can't sit, look and say, you know what, I can't wait to beat that power forward tonight, then beating somebody does not motivate this dude, and nobody in the NBA is going to want a player that can't find a way to motivate himself to win.
And I think that therein lies the issue across the board, because you would love to see him be awesome in the playoffs, but then are you like, well, hold on, what are we doing here? We just advanced to the second round, at least in part because of him, and then he got hurt in the second round. And you're like,
oh, God.
Well, do we trade the person who helped get us to the second round? Because that seems foolish. But then you couldn't keep him in the playoffs, and you're like, well, that seems foolish to build around him.
I think the biggest risk the Mavs can take today, and look, you can't trade him today. You have to wait for the playoffs to play out. The biggest risk I think the Mavs could take is keeping him. That would be the biggest risk for the future Dallas Mavericks. Now, it could be the biggest reward. The Mavericks could look at it and go, hey, maybe he can be a top somewhere between 20 and 25. I think, Corey, to your point, if he's 100% healthy, cares about his teammates, cares about winning, does whatever the coach wants him to do, the way that Chris Middleton was with the Milwaukee Bucks when he was like, wait, I'm an all-star, I'm doing all this stuff. And the coach said, for us to be the best team possible, I need you to take a little bit of a step back offensively and let this and this happen. And Chris Middleton was able to do that. I don't think Porzingis is willing to do something like that to fit into a team structure. He wants his. And those are always tough guys to build around. Carmelo Anthony was way better than Porzingis in their primes. Carmelo Anthony was about getting his. And we saw what happened in New York. When it's all about getting yours, it's very tough to build like that ultimate winner. And yeah, New York didn't do a great job. I'm not blaming it all on Carmelo Anthony. But I think Carmelo Anthony saw it as, I want to get my 30 a night. That's my goal. And if your goal is to get 30 a night, sometimes it's tough to build a championship team around you being the best player or one of the two best players. And so for me, you got to get rid of Porzingis this offseason. And I'm going to use the word rid of at this point because I think you're going to not get very good offers, but that's fine. So, you got to get rid of him as of today.
And I do want to bring up the Choppy discussion because I'm in on this as well.
I would like to keep Choppy.
I like Choppy too. He's really fun to talk with. And he spends a lot of time in break talking to us. The idea of, well, why can't you just have Luka and another running buddy for the regular season and then have KP as your third guy? Who is maybe not, maybe he's a two when he is on the court. I understand the idea of chemistry, but then gives you that kind of player whenever, but you also have the duo that can run and dominate together.
I think the economics of the NBA make that almost impossible. Like to make that happen, and maybe they'll do this anyway, you would have to jettison Josh Richardson and Tim Hardaway Jr., and that's if somebody picked to come here. If you were going to try to architect some sort of sign and trade, you could still lose those two, probably have to deal out more draft picks and Jalen Brunson. So, like, go ahead.
Sorry. Well, Luka doesn't. I just don't think Luka wants to play with a guy who shows up 60% of the time. Like, Michael Jordan didn't want a guy like that. LeBron doesn't want a guy like that. Like, these ultimate alpha guys that are leading teams, they don't want a guy who shows up 50 to 60% of the time. And then when they do show up, they're still not a dominant player.
And you can tell me, and I get it, people can tell me all day long that the reason why the Mavericks have been winning in this latest stretch is because they have been playing inferior competition. I do get that. My argument would be the Mavericks have not excelled against inferior competition for a whole bunch of the way. But you look at it right now. They haven't lost to a non-Sacramento team in almost a month. Now, the Sacramento thing is weird. I can't really figure that out. But I do think there is something to the fact that day in and day out, you're like, here are the people who will be here. And let's put together a game plan. Or let's go to war with these folks and not have to wonder, hey, is so-and-so going to be here? Is KP going to do this? Is this person going to do this? These are the people every single night, and they've gone out, and they have won, and they have gotten themselves out of the play-in tournament because of this stretch of basketball.
Mike, Kevin, I just looked up Kristaps Porzingis, and on Real GM Basketball right now, there's a headline that says, Porzingis doesn't know what Cuban is talking about concerning Doncic's dust-ups. And then it makes a reference to, I don't know if y'all have heard of the show, the KNC Masterpiece,
oh,
when Mark Cuban was on. And Mark said, on the court, they're fine. That's not to say there aren't dust-ups, because there are. I'd compare it to Jet and Dirk. Remember that moment whenever we had Mark Cuban on? Here was Porzingis' reply to that. I've never had any problems with my teammates off the court. I've always gotten along with them. I don't know what Cuban was talking about. I try to be as professional as possible, do what I have to do, and be a soldier for the team. And I did see that.
But I only want to play the center position, and I need to play the first 10 minutes of the basketball game. If you take me out after six, you're going to get a bad player the rest of the game.
Well, the one thing I will say about those things is I'm not sure how much they were demanded, but I also do think that, like, he's right in those regards, you know, the ways that he's being used. I think that it's easy for those things to be frustrating because he's just not there. If he played consistently and those things were requests or things that he believed, I think those would go over a lot better. But ultimately, back to Corey's question about could you have KP as your third player, the economics of it are tough, absolutely, as Kevin stated. But beyond that, the economics factor in another way where, like, look at Brooklyn, where you have these three really good players that are obviously eating up a lot of your cap. After that, you're asking a lot from other role players to step in and be in a bigger place. And that's something the Mavs have excelled at, finding those guys who aren't going to cost a lot, who are going to step into roles. The tough thing is not having consistent roles and consistency, because at that point, then you have your third best player who's going down, and now you're having to slide up and have all sorts of fluctuation in there. That would be a little bit more sustainable, but you're adding just yet another hurdle to clear for a player that you're paying damn near max salaries.
So we start asking the question of where would he fit or where could he go? Now, I wanted to bring up this team in particular because, Mike, I know your mind has run wild with this team trade scenarios from the 972. Would KP fit with the Golden State Warriors? Well, my initial thought is, Not for him, because he would damn sure not be the focal point of the team going in. But, Mike, what are your thoughts when it comes to a Warriors trade? Because I know this team specifically you've given thought to.
Trade him for
Yeah, I mean, there's articles about it. Right. And I think Golden State is interested. And I think they still would be. James Wiseman is out for the year. I do think there's a possibility of a Wiseman and Wiggins trade for Porzingis in the offseason.
I do
think both teams would be interested in that, because maybe they would see Porzingis fitting better there, because Wiseman can't shoot at all right now. Maybe he'll develop a shot better. You know, it's very young in his career. And Draymond Green can't shoot to save his life, but he's a great point forward for them. He plays more point guard than really Curry does. But if you had him there spreading the court, because Draymond can't, they might see that as a better fit. And Wiggins is just a role player. He was the number one pick. He's not a bad player. He's a solid role player.
He's considered
a failure because he was the first overall pick. And as the first overall pick, he's been a bust as the first overall pick. Wiseman, you don't know yet. You don't know what he can really bring. He's shown signs of being a good player. This doesn't take you into championship mode into 2022, because you're trading for a kid that's 21 years old next year, and Wiggins, who's a role player. But you have to hope that Wiggins will play for me and be a solid wing guy for the next 5 years on my team, and that Wiseman will develop into a DeAndre Ayton type of player, and maybe even a little bit better than that. So, I mean, that would be what you're trading for. I think another team that'll be interesting is Atlanta. Atlanta doesn't really want John Collins back. But I don't think they're just going to give him away, as in he's restricted. So if the Mavericks are like, hey, we'll give you 4 years at $80 million, they'll just say, well, we match it. Too bad. You can't go anywhere. But if you were to maybe make a trade, Porzingis for John Collins and the kid Herter, who's the redheaded kid that can really shoot.
Are you concerned about Collins' injuries?
Yes, I am concerned about – I'm concerned about marketing, but – at this point, I don't think Porzingis is ever going to be healthy. I think he didn't get close to Bill Walton, but the closest I can think of is like Bill Walton was able to play 40 or 50 games here and there after winning the championship for Portland in 77. And you just had to deal with like what he was. And then he was healthy in 86 and was the sixth man for the Celtics. But I think, like, unfortunately, Porzingis is always going to be a 50 to 60% player guy. And I think by 32 or 33, all the injuries that he's taken to his knees are going to end his career at like 32, 33 years old.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.